Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild time in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome into another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who's literally on fire with spring training fever. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, is that a controlled burn you got going there?
I am inflamed with passion for the Tigers. So I guess it's more of a figurative burn than a literal one.
So
the burning, yes.
The firefighters have it contained on three of the four sides.
That's right. It only really burns when I pee.
So the Tigers are five games in, and we've taken four of the first five. That's World Series winning form, no?
That's pretty good, right? These games count, don't they?
There are standings in the MLB app for the Grapefruit League. So in theory, they do count.
Do they count the Florida Southern game? I think they do.
I don't see why we wouldn't. I mean, we're literally just making it up at this point. They have drawn a game, so... Sure.
It's fine.
Yeah, but even this hot start, we're not actually in first place in the Grapefruit League, which is unfortunate. I think we don't have the tiebreaker against the Yanks, which, you know, that's a whole other thing.
We just don't have the will to win. We don't have the heart, the moxie, the intangibles.
So I got to ask you, we're a week in and we've seen kind of these are the, you know, we know who the regulars are, and now we've seen who the second line players are. Who's your favorite of like the second line guys, you know, who come in after Miggy has three at bats and they're the ones that have to stand out in the heat of the day under that sun? Who's your favorite?
I don't know. I haven't seen Ulrich Bojarski yet. I think he's too far down the totem pole. I don't know. There's some guys coming over. Gerber is getting a little playing time. I want to see what Gerber can do.
I think mine is that Nico Goodrum.
Goodrum.
Of all, that's an 80 grade name. That's a good name. I want to see him in a Tigers uniform. But he's played left. He's played short. He's played third. I think he even played first for a little bit.
Did he hit a bomb today? Yeah, or last game he hit a home run.
That's something that somebody who hosts a Tigers podcast might know, but you know,
should know.
One might say that I don't.
Well, it doesn't help that they're not on the radio and they're not on television yet. Well, the Yankees game was on TV, and I caught some of that.
Was Johnny Cain,
which I feel
in,
like
in the building? You'd think that I would know if I were in the same state as him.
It was a Yankee, one would think. No, it was a Yankees broadcast, so the normal annoying Yankees guy was doing their shtick. So,
woof. Stay in our market, Johnny. That would break my heart more than JD going to the Red Sox if we saw Johnny Cain doing broadcasts for the Yankees. That
we
would be
lost
the worst.
Ryan Field. We've lost Shannon.
I'm okay Johnny with losing Cain. Ryan Field. Ryan Field and I had a Twitter spat.
Did you really?
A tiny one.
It's like rap battle.
As much as I have ever gotten in a Twitter spat with anybody. So I got down here to Florida on Saturday. We saw our first game today. Yep. Cards at the Red Sox at JetBlue. And we actually had seats on top of – they have a like a mini green monster out in left field, and our seats were on top of there. I love
screen. How was it? What was that experience like?
It was awesome. We had standing room only seats, but there weren't hardly anybody up there, so we were able to sit in the seats like along the edge. It was cool. We were right on top of essentially Andrew Benintendi. There was a nice breeze up there, but like, I don't know. Spring is just like the ultimate baseball watching experience. Like, I couldn't name a single thing that actually happened during the game today and had the time of my life. Like, it doesn't matter in the slightest, and it's amazing. So, yeah.
That's right. The particulars are all secondary when you're enjoying the game.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Spring training is about enjoying the sunshine, the ambiance. You take in just the joy of it not being crummy.
I mean, not for the players, but for us as fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually going up to Lakeland on Friday, so if you see your boy in the streets, hit me up. Not you, Eric. I'm assuming you will not be there.
Unfortunately, no. I will be in the frozen north, where I belong.
So that brings us to this week's leadoff question. What team, other than the Detroit Tigers or the Houston Tigers, are you most excited to watch play this year?
I think there's an obvious answer. And that's not the one I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with a slightly less obvious answer. And that is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's a good choice.
They have Mike Trout, who's the best player in baseball.
Without a doubt. Absolutely.
Best player in baseball. He's
closing in on the best player in baseball history, I would say.
He doesn't have to do a ton more to get that name for himself.
Absolutely not.
And they've signed the Ohtani. Is that how you say it?
Sure, yeah.
Ohtani.
I mean, my Japanese is rough, but yeah, I'd say so.
Shohei Ohtani.
This feels like we're getting racist here.
Ohtani's the guy I'm talking about. No, I'm trying to see Shohei Ohtani. That is his name, which I can't say. Anyway. He can pitch. He's going to be a pitcher. They're going to try a 6-man rotation to start.
Which would be very interesting. Especially considering you generally start off the year with a 4-man rotation because of how many off days you have early. Anyway.
Exactly. And he can hit. He's hitting for power. He's not like just some dinky slap hitter. Boom. This is the guy I'm interested in. And Trout, and they have Upton.
Yes.
They have Kinsler.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have our boy Osmus roaming the bench someplace.
It's really interesting with Upton and Kinsler in Los Angeles. I feel like there are fewer players that have contributed as much to the Tigers as those two did that I feel less meh about them leaving. Like, I have not broken up in the slightest, really, that either of them are gone, and they both contributed a lot to the Tigers the last 5 years or whatever. So,
we broke that down on the podcast before about Upton and how he never really settled in when it was loved.
Kinsler had quite a following here, I would say. Just, I don't know, he just never quite captured. I mean, I respect him more than I liked him as a player, I guess. My choice.
I think that's true of a lot of us.
Yeah.
I think that's true of a lot of fans. They respected him more than they like had this emotional attachment to him. He wasn't really, not exactly a teddy bear.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I went with the Brewers. I actually saw a Brewers game mid-year last year in Milwaukee, and I'm like, this is a fun team. I think this team is going to make the playoffs. They didn't, obviously, as we all remember. Mm-hmm. But I'm going back in on that train. They added Yelich. They added Lorenzo Cain. Got some old friends there in Corey Knebel and Tigers legend Hernan Perez. Got some fun starters. I like Chase Anderson. And I kind of think they're a dark horse to make a run. It's been a while since they've been relevant. I'd like to see the Brew Crew.
Do you know who the obvious choice is, though?
I'm assuming you were going to say the Yanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right. With Stanton and Judge. Yeah. I mean, they're the show.
I'm kind of a little excited to see the Rays this year. Like, they're such a mess. I think that could be a really interesting thing to watch. No one's going to be watching it, but I think it could be an interesting thing to kind of keep tabs on. Just they could be worse than us. It's Kiermaier. Wow. Like,
that's saying something.
Kiermaier. I can't name like three other other Rays players, and that's, you know, they're training literally 3 miles from my... Yeah, Archer, of course.
Archer's good. Wilson, but they got rid of Dickerson, who was good.
Yeah. They got rid of Steven Souza. Yeah.
DJ Kitty. They have DJ Kitty.
Yeah, DJ Kitty's going to be batting cleanup before they know it.
They might have to.
If you want to get in touch with the show on Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. If you want to follow all of my spring training exploits and all the other stuff I do while I'm down here in Florida, I'm going to Zoo Miami here in a couple weeks. A couple days, not a couple weeks. Not down here a couple weeks. My Instagram is at Jordinho4, J-O-R-D-I-N-H-O, and then the number 4. And I actually figured out the Instagram story for the first time. Not that I figured it out now, but I've started using the feature.
Yeah, you've utilized it.
I've utilized it. It's been fun. Have you seen them?
Yes. I'm familiar. I've not seen yours, which is a shame.
You should go ahead and look those up. They're good. Anyway, Jordinho4, facebook.com/podcastianos, and we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And if you do so, take a screenshot of your review, tweet it at us. We'll retweet it. We'll show you some love. And then next week, we'll read your funny, hopefully, and nice, hopefully, review on the show.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
So as we talked about in the open, the Ron Gardenhier era is off to a blistering start, and only gravity can keep this rocket from reaching the moon or something. We're 5 games in, haven't completely come off the rails for anybody, but maybe, say, Alex Wilson in week one. It's kind of been a little bit of a success, no?
Yeah, well, can you know? Is such a thing knowable at this stage?
I think it not being a total failure makes it a success, and it hasn't been a total failure yet.
There hasn't been any big issues, like you said. I mean, Candelario had a collision, but he seems to be fine. It was precautionary. Liriano, who we just signed, we'll talk about later in the show, maybe a little bit. He was hurt, but looks like he's just being set back a couple days. Everything is fine. It's impossible to know. We are hitting a little bit, which is nice to see. Usually the pitchers are ahead of the hitters at this time in spring training.
Specifically the middle infielders. Dixon and Iggy are off to hot starts. Hot starts.
Getting swole in the middle infield.
So one of the things that seeing the Tigers play real games has given us a look at is possible lineup combinations that Gardy intends on using. He seems to like Leonis Martin leading off. He's done so in the games when the majority of the regulars have featured. It's spring training. What exactly do you think we can read into the lineup cards that he's put out so far? Is there anything we can read into that?
Well, I think you can read a little bit into that Martin is probably going to be your leadoff guy, right? Which pains me. I don't really like that. His OPS and all that stuff are not exemplary, but that's old school managing, right? You put your center fielder, your quick guy at the top of the lineup, percentages be darned, right? Like that's what you do. When I compose my lineup, I would much rather have Matuk on the top.
Yes.
Gives you some speed, but I think he's going to give you a little more pop. I want him towards the top instead.
Yeah. There are a lot of dings on Martin leading off. A career on-base percentage of exactly 300, which that's extremely soothing. I enjoy the fact that it's not 301 or 299. It's exactly 300 over, like, I mean, multiple thousand at bat. Like that's a lot of at bats for it to be exact, which I appreciate. And has never drawn more than 44 walks. He's only had 3 foolish seasons in Major League Baseball, but he's never drawn more than 44 walks in any of them. That's not hashtag ideal. But yeah, it's really interesting because we lack the depth in the lineup, where if you took Mikey out of more of a run producing spot and put him in the top of the order, then you end up having essentially Leonis Martin, Dixon, and Iglesias, who you're going to get precious little offense out of 7-8. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow to turn that lineup over every single time.
But that's where you put all the turds in your lineup at the bottom. That's how it works. It's not Gardy's fault that he's got too many turds, but I mean, I used the word turd affectionately. Of course. Love you guys. But it doesn't make any sense to take one of your crummy guys and put him at the top.
Just to space him out. And
use somebody better.
And truly, even if you're putting him one, you still will have Dixon, Iglesias, and Martin just in a slightly different order because, you know, as they say, you're only leading off once. So, yeah, I'd like to see Mikey up there too. And realistically, even if Martin starts as our designated leadoff man, that could change 10, 15, 20 games into the season when he's, you know, hopefully he runs with it. Maybe we're discounting him. He has some talent, but we'll see about that one. I'd like to see Mikey up there. It's been interesting that it's been Miggy and Nick hitting 3 and 4 as opposed to Miggy and Victor, as it's been pretty much as long as I can remember. That's kind of our, you know, 1-2 punch. That's the heart of the order. Where does that punch rank in baseball for you? I mean, that's where you compare, you know, the heart of the orders versus some of the other teams.
It's still pretty good. It's still pretty good.
Is it,
though? Cabrera and Castellanos is okay. It's not awesome, but we're, 50th, 60th percentile. I mean, that's upper half, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Now, how does the rest of our lineup shape out? Not as good, but I still think that's for a 3-4 hitter. I think that could be solid.
Right, I agree. I think that we are, like you say, upper half. The rest of the lineup obviously will be very much lower half. Do you think that there's anything in the Victor, you know, moving down? Does that shake out any way in the locker room, clubhouse, as they might call it in baseball? I mean, it's got to be a little bit of a pride hit for a proud, you know, proud vet like that.
Well, I think he's gotten. If there may have been some, as the kids call, butt hurt last year a little bit about it, but Victor's not in a position to get butt hurt anymore. He's not. He's got to kind of roll with it.
He's bad. That's the problem.
Yeah, you don't have much choice. So if you want to play, you want to collect your paycheck, you're going to have to listen. And nobody's going to have a lot of sympathy or respect for you if you don't make a fuss.
Yeah.
So you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit.
Sounds like you've told that to a child a time or two.
Absolutely.
I tell that to you almost daily when we're texting.
Jordan.
So a little bit more notes on Miggy and Nicholas. So Miggy's lost a little weight, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. A couple people made that comment. Not to go all Lynn Henning on everybody. Hook sent me an article. Lynn Henning was going off on Isaac Paredes' weight for like 500 words, but I digress. Weight isn't everything, but it's more about his health and taking care of his body as he gets older, and that is important.
I feel like
he looks good.
I feel like we've done this weight dance before.
And we have, but it's more about, can he stay healthy over the long haul, and if his weight can contribute to his health, then it's good.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of times when we're going to see Hicks at first base. I think that's just how it has to be at this point. You know, that's clearly going to push Victor from the lineup a bit, because you're not taking Miggy out entirely, so you'd move him to the DH. But honestly, if Hicks played one third of the games at first base, I think that we would have a much better season from Miguel Cabrera. And honestly, we're a better team with Hicks in the lineup than we are with Victor, so it makes sense.
Unless Victor shows you something that he's back and is feeling good, but you're probably right.
Yeah. The other big thing to come out of this is Castellanos. He's an outfielder now. Like, this is a thing. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. Gardenhire, he asked him the question. The reporters asked him the question, and he's like, Nick has taken all his work out there. Well, would you ever put him at third? Well, you know, maybe. If there's a pinch, you know, but otherwise he's an outfielder, and that's the right move.
Third base, yeah,
right. But he's not taking any reps over there. He's taking all his reps in right field. He's the Tigers' right fielder.
Which is good. He was not a good third baseman. He may or may not be a good outfielder, but we know for sure that he was not a good third baseman. It's worth a shot.
That's, That space has been explored.
Yes. You know, Schrodinger's cat out in Wright right now. We will find out soon enough whether the cat is alive or dead. So as I've brought up roughly 16 times at this point, we're off to a 4-1 start. By this time 2 years ago, you were fraught with worry over Justin Upton. Have you taken anybody you're worried about? Anyone stand out to you over the first couple games?
Alex Wilson got lit up today.
He really did.
Does that mean anything? Probably not. But the dude did break his leg.
Yeah.
That seems bad.
I trust 6 years of track record on Alex Wilson over one bad game. But I will say that when you throw as many innings as he has in relief, sometimes it just goes. And it could have just gone. I don't know. We'll obviously monitor him through camp. But sometimes it just goes.
One game. The leg worries me a little bit. He broke his leg. It's bad.
Yeah, anyway, he's not. We'll keep an eye on him. Greg Jennings. I don't think. Are you familiar with that video?
No.
Reaching way back. Okay, we'll just move on. Obviously, this wasn't going to go unnoticed, but Verhagen today, 2 innings, 1 hit, 4 strikeouts. Get Drew in the eighth.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's a long spring, I know that, but. He's
pretty much all your boys flame out the hall. I hate to tell you.
Such as who? My boys have been Verhagen, Norris, and Blaine. Kyle Ryan was never my boy. I just thought Kyle Ryan deserved more respect than he got.
And who was that guy last year at spring training? Bobby Parnell. He didn't get a game at all.
Yes, he did. He was up for a while. Lucas Harrell was the guy from spring training last year that I was so in love with after watching him warm up in the bullpen. And I will say, he got traded over the course of the regular season because the Rangers wanted him for the stretch run. So that was a prime piece of talent evaluation from yours truly.
You need to pick better players.
I think the manager just needs to play my players more. I think that would probably do the same thing. Anyway, Verhagen, penciled in for the eighth. In roster news, since the last time we recorded, the Tigers went out and added another live body to camp, this time in the form of Eternal Potential Machine, Francisco Liriano, 1 year, $4 million. These numbers come from MLive. Blue Jays before the trade last year, 6-7 with a 5.66 ERA as a starter, and then he only pitched out of the bullpen for the Astros. That worked out okay for the Astros. What do you think here? You like this one?
Well, there's a phrase in baseball. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal, and it's a one-year deal. $4 million? Okay, yeah, that seems like a lot, but you got to remember the minimum is like $600,000. So, you know, $4 million on 1 year is not a crazy high amount.
No.
There's certainly some potential there for him. I mean, he hasn't had a real good season since 2015, and he's battled some injuries. So there's a reason why he's relatively inexpensive. But, you know, he's reunited with Gardy, feels comfortable with him.
Yeah,
we need arms. We need bodies.
There's no risk here. I mean, $4 million, obviously the Tigers are trying to cut costs, but there's no risk here. Right. I don't know exactly what
if they didn't sign him, would they spend $4 million on somebody else?
Probably not. Would be somebody else that's in the exact same boat. I mean, we're not spending taking that four and adding it to four other to sign an $8 million player. Like, this is what we're looking at. And I think he's as good as anyone else. You know, we've said that Chris Bosio can turn anybody into an ace, as that seems to be the narrative around the Detroit media. So this guy has all the stuff in the world. You know, maybe Bosio's the guy. But here's the deal. Best case scenario, he is really, really good for 3 months and we get a good prospect for him at the deadline or before. That's the upside. You know, if he finishes the year with us, it's because the deal didn't turn out how we wanted it to, essentially.
Right. I mean, Toronto did that. They flipped him for a decent prospect. I don't know the name or the ranking of said prospect, but that's what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. That has to be the goal. I think it's interesting. He mentioned that Gardenhire was part of the reason that he signed with the Tigers. Is it a good thing or... I mean, it has to be kind of reassuring that former players are seeking him out to come back and play for him. Wouldn't you say, like, it has to be it has to be a good thing.
I think it's a credit to your manager that a former player wants to be reunited with him. Do I think it's going to affect his performance at all?
No,
I don't think that's a factor.
I don't know. Call me cynical, but I read that and I'm like, huh, I wonder if Guardy's like easier to play for than some man. I don't know. That was where my mind went. Like,
are you worried about the player manager kind of?
I don't know. I don't know. Coming from Osmus, I don't think anybody could be less effective in that regard.
There you go.
So you brought up a really interesting topic to discuss tonight. I think we should get into a little bit. It's the fate of the Grapefruit League in Florida. Little background. Over the past 10 or so years, I would say, numerous teams have moved their camp from Florida to the more consolidated confines of Arizona. In Arizona, they're all of the spring training are essentially grouped around metropolitan Phoenix. So, like,
Scottsdale.
Yeah, everything's within, you know, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 miles. And has left the Grapefruit League kind of in a lurch. Still, about half the teams in baseball train here, but there's always kind of that looming threat of more defections. And now it's really interesting because half the teams, essentially half the teams are on the Atlantic coast, half the teams are on the Gulf coast. And starting in 2020, there will only be one team that's square in the middle of the state. And you guessed it, it's the Tigers. So the Grapefruit League isn't healthy, but are things terminal as far as that goes?
Well, you would have worried about the Tigers, right? Because, like you said, they're a little bit isolated. But after the reinvestment that they made with the city of Lakeland, they've spent a ton of money, beautiful new facilities. I mean, they've kind of set their roots down there.
Yeah, the Tigers aren't going anywhere. It's just
they're not going anywhere now, right? But every time, if you've been to a game at Lakeland, every time there's always some representative from the city, and they're always reminding everybody and trumpeting the fact that they have the longest continual relationship of a city with a major league team for spring training. And I think there's a lot of legacy and history that goes back there. And, you know, by the time you distill the travel time down, you have half your games at home if you don't have split squads. And there are some relatively close teams. There's only like a handful of really long travel days. And then you're sending the kids.
That's
true. You're sending a lot of minor leaguers. So your studs don't have a lot of extra burden. And I think a lot of the players, like Prince Fielder and Cabrera, and a lot of those guys had homes in greater Orlando, which is not a crazy far drive.
No, it's like what half hour maybe from Lakeland at the very most. The problem is once the Braves leave the Disney's facility and move to Northport, I mean you have Clearwater with the Phillies and Dunedin with the Jays. Though that's not super far. And then on the other side of the state, the West Palm ones aren't super far. But essentially anything south of that, you're looking at like pushing 2 hours. The travel, like you say, it doesn't necessarily put us behind the eight ball. Just, I don't know. I would prefer – it would be nicer if there were some teams closer, especially considering like the Twins and the Red Sox can just, you know, play each other six times with, you know, literally going across the town. Not even. They're not even that far.
Right.
I don't necessarily think that it's a real detriment, but you know, it is something to be concerned with considering how, I mean, we're not going anywhere. And, and I guess as long as you have three or four teams that you can kind of keep playing, it's not necessarily that
all you
big
need.
Of a deal. Yeah.
I think the bleeding has stopped. The Tigers have reinvested. Yeah. The Braves are moving on, but there'll be a new reality. And I think the Grapefruit League is relatively stable now.
So sad news for anyone who's a Tigers fan or kind of just has a soul in general. Our beloved J.D. Martinez has signed with not the evil empire, but kind of the other evil empire, the Boston Red Sox. Would you describe this more as a punch to the gut or a kick in the nards?
A punch to the nards.
Oh, okay. So that's
kind
a bit
of a nice
hybrid
combination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss J.D. He was... he had this quiet kind of intensity. He was an easy guy to root for.
Yes, definitely.
Because he wasn't super in your face, braggadocious. He just kind of showed up and did his thing and mashed. He was a likable player.
Yeah.
And I wish him the best.
Honestly, I wanted him. I wouldn't have liked to see him sign for the Yankees, obviously. And then I wouldn't have liked to see him sign for the Red Sox. But pretty much anyone else, I would have been really happy. Like, go there, do really well. I have a hard time rooting for any Red Sox. Obviously, David Price went there, and dude's kind of a nightmare. Like, I'm not exactly I was okay with that. I didn't necessarily get too attached to David Price in the year and a half he was there. I don't know. Just anywhere else, JD, anywhere else. But like you say, dude got his money. He's going to be well paid, and he'll be beloved there. He's going to hit lots of home runs over the monster. It is a nice fit.
It seemed like almost a foregone conclusion that he was going to go there. Yeah. I mean, with Dombrowski there and the holes that they had and the payroll that they had, it was always kind of like, oh, yeah, the Red Sox are going to sign him. But this free agent offseason was super peculiar, and there's been a lot of talk in baseball circles about this free agent class and how it's handled, because the free agents are either going unsigned, or with J.D. Martinez going late, or maybe for not as quite as much money. So there's different theories being floated. Is this simply a bad free agent crop? Is this mean that there's smarter general managers? I mean, are they just seeing that these long-term contracts are bad? Is there collusion, right? Because that was kind of hinted at. Or is the collective bargaining agreement and how it's structured bad? What's your take on all the free agent traffic, or lack thereof?
Okay, so let's start with the collective bargaining agreement. I'm not smart enough to wade into that, so we're just going to throw that one right out. Okay. And listen, if you're looking at this and listening to my voice and you think you are smart enough, turn this podcast off. We are not smart enough to be in your earbuds. So,
hey, speak for yourself, Paul. Break it down.
CBA, out of there. But here's the deal. It's a combination of the other three. There's life is nuanced. It's always in the middle. Is there collusion? Yes. The GMs have looked at, you know, and seen, you know, some of these Albert Pujols deals, the Miguel Cabrera deals. These are nightmares. These are terrible ideas that they just keep doing. Now, if they all come together and push this down a little bit, you know, things will normalize a little, I would say. And the fact that none of the GMs have, you know, it only takes one GM to pay through the roof to kind of blow the lid off this whole, you know, combined trying to push it down. So clearly they're all loosely working together. Obviously, I think that it is partly due to a not so hot free agent crop. But I think that there is a strong argument to be made that they banded together a little bit to try and take back the salary structure. And I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. It just sucks if you happen to be a free agent this year as opposed to last year.
Well, I mean, there is something wrong with that. I mean, if they all agree, hey, we're going to keep prices down, nobody can sign anybody for more than $27 million a year, don't you dare do it. I mean, you can't do that, right?
Clearly they can. That would be the market driving the prices.
No, I mean, we're talking about two different things. Collusion is like they talk to each other
and
say, we're not going to do that. I mean, I think what's more happening is probably they're all coming to the same epiphany that some of these longer term deals aren't paying out for them. But what's wrong with the collective bargaining agreement is the most valuable players, guys like Trout and Harper and so forth, can't get paid like the most valuable players. You have to wait until you hit free agency. And the people who hit free agency, their pay is so disproportionately higher than the rank and file member. You get this imbalance. So teams, especially when you lose draft picks, when you're signing some of these free agents, the cards start to become more clearly stacked against the older free agent players at the same time they're supposed to get paid the most. So the union is really going to have to they have some work cut out for them in the next session to get a better deal for, I think, more of the rank and file players, and to protect their higher paid players too, because it's just a little out of whack right now.
Does it sound like any specific team has been hurt by, you know, signing these big free agents and it not working out and then losing draft picks? Any specific team come to mind?
It's a little close to home.
All right, let's move on to the numbers. I think last week we said we weren't going to explain this anymore, so you want to just jump right into it?
Yep. All right. Here we go. Who's going first?
You can go first. I think I'm going to guess yours this week.
All right. My number is 292. 292.
Hits Miguel Cabrera needs to be the all-time hit leader for the Detroit Tigers.
Good guess, but no.
Thanks.
This is the number of total players that are in the Detroit Tigers organization.
Wow. Did not
Almost
know that.
Almost 300 players. So while you're watching the spring training games and you're saying, oh, man, how many more players do they have are available? Yeah, probably a couple hundred. And then some. And it's funny, they put across the press release today that they're having a tryout. Are you going to go try out? You're down there. You got to bring your own glove.
Oh, that's where we pulled Winnie from, right? Winton Bernard?
That's where they got Winton Bernard, who, you know, who showed some promise for a while, but never really made it to the big leagues. No. But I find it stunning that they think they can pull in even more players and sign more players. They have a butt ton of players. So many.
Yeah, why not? Maybe there's always diamonds in the rough to be discovered.
Yeah.
Or something.
Seems like a lot.
All right. My number is one.
One?
One.
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 The number of home runs Iglesias has averaged over the last 7 years.
Not a good guess. just kidding. Well, I mean, either way.
It's got to be close.
One is the amount of letters in the middle name of Jordan Zimmermann. His middle name is M.
M.
Which I'm surprised is not another N, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, isn't it Bond that he reports to M?
Yeah, yeah, just like that.
In the Bond? Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Yeah, Jordan M. That Zimmerman.
You don't think it stands for anything? It's just M.
No, it's just M. It's on his Wikipedia page, just Jordan M. Zimmerman.
That's fancy.
Now, go ahead.
My number is 34.
James McCann's number.
This is how old Liriano is.
I did know
that. That seems young to me. I thought he had to be like 38 by now.
See, I feel like he's like I said, he's like the eternal, you know, potential machine. When we first signed him, I'm like, oh, was he like 29, 30? Like, he's been around a while, but in my mind, he's still a kid. But he's not. He's quite old. Not as old as you, but quite old.
Laughing up.
Yeah.
I wonder how old Wilken Ramirez is. He's probably still in the futures game.
So before we leave the single middle initial topic,
yeah,
we've had one president in our history that has just a single middle initial for his middle name. Do you know who it is?
Hubert Humphrey.
No, Harry S. Truman.
So the S is just an S. It doesn't stand.
Just S.
Just S. Oh, fancy.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring.
At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, let's move on to your beef of the week.
Beef of the week. I'm so excited for beef of the week this year. This week, I mean. You know, I'm also going to call it filing a grievance because
I like
Players
that.
Association filed a grievance with the league. Or if Hookslide didn't steal it for their podcast, this would be called the seventh inning kvetch.
Yes, so they did use that. I don't know that I understand that one. Can you explain it to me and all the other dummies out there?
Kvetch is like a Yiddish slang for complaining.
Oh, so it's a play on words.
Yeah.
That's clever.
Anyway, we're sticking with beef of the week. Anyway, so I had a nice conversation with one of my coworkers today, and his son is a swimmer. Oh. And evidently swimming culture and swimming fandom is pretty hardcore. He was telling me about the shenanigans with these swimming fans who show up. Well, one of the things he pointed out was like the parents will come and they will take their blankets and they will stretch their blankets across the bleachers, however much space they think they need, and then a little bit more because, you know, you have your snacks or whatever, and then they leave. And so then the other people file in and they encounter a blanket stretched across because those seats are reserved. This drives me nuts. You can't just stretch your blanket out wherever you please and like keep that as your spot. This happens at the fair when I go to the fair grounds, you know, for the event. You know, everybody's got their, their whole tribe there, whole blankets everywhere.
So just to play devil's advocate here, why not? They were there. They had established those boundaries.
No, past tense. They were.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
They are not. Were and currently are there.
Now, what if there's a single member of their clan still with their property?
No, the system should be: you come, you sit in the spot that you want when it's first come, first serve. That's how it should work. What's even gotten worse is like these parades. The parades in Holland, we have tulip time, and people would like whole stretches in the little space between the sidewalk and the street, and blankets, and then they'd pound these little stakes with ropes. Like, what gives you the right to do it? Finally, the city had to crack down and say, no, you can only reserve your spot and do your blanket like at 6 a.m. the morning of. You can't do it the night before or 2 days of, because people would set up their blanket and like think it's theirs for the whole week. That's garbage. Stop being a blanket sitter. Okay. It's no manners. You can't just reserve it throwing a blanket anywhere.
I feel like this beef kind of runs out of last week's beef of children always walking directly where you want to be walking, because maybe I feel like all of this is because maybe you show up late to events sometimes and you can't find a spot. Maybe if the kids weren't directly underfoot, you would have been there in time to set down your own blanket and reserve your own spot.
The world exists for my convenience, and I am being inconvenienced.
That's
not
fair.
Good.
That's fair.
I just got blanket putter outers drive me nuts. Stop. That's the beef of the week.
So I actually saw something on the side of the road while running this week. I've been back to running. I got a couple miles in this week. So I found a for sale sign. It's 0.91 acres, zoned for CG, which I'm sure is a real estate term that I know what it is. 273 foot of frontage. It's with Remax Palm Realty, and the name of the real estate agent is Dick Woodhull.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Dick Woodhull. So that's the—
I bet he would.
That's what I saw on the side of the road while running. And do you want a Big Steve update?
How many balls so does Big Steve have? Big Steve
is up to 32 baseballs that he has collected this spring.
32.
He went to the Rays game. It was must have been like Thursday or Friday before we got down here. He was given a free ticket on the way in. It was Blake Snell bobblehead day, so he got a free bobblehead. And then he caught two home run balls in batting practice. So for a free ticket, he came away with two Major League Baseballs and a free bobblehead. So that's been that, Big that's Steve's week.
That's a performance even Dick Woodhull would be proud of, I think.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Okay, let's get into some Twitter questions. For the third straight week, we have received a lot of questions. Like I've said, each of the past 2 weeks, spring training is long and boring. If we didn't get to your question this week, fear not. We will in the coming weeks. If you want to get in touch on Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at PodcastYanos. All right, let's get into this. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. David J. Ham asks us, projected season performance for Luke Putkonen. I feel like you're the expert here, so I'll let you go.
Oh, man. I don't think Luke is going to be around. That makes me sad. And it makes Luke sad.
I was going to say, what kind of face do you
everything
think
does.
Luke has about this fact?
I'm assuming he's pouting.
That feels like a pretty fair bet.
Yeah.
At Sean Fagan 4, Sean Hachi Fagan, in honor of the Winter Olympics, which Tigers would be on a Detroit-represented four-man bobsled team? I feel like clearly Norris would be in that. He might even be the driver of that. That I don't feel like that's that uncommon or unsimilar to surfing.
Mikey Matuk, for sure.
For sure. Good. That's a good call.
So I was watching the bobsled, and do you know who is on the bobsled team? Was the former Michigan running back. Is it McGuffey? Sam McGuffey?
Sam McGuffey, yeah.
Yeah. They said his name. I'm like, that's where he is now. He's bobsledding. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't really know much about Johnny Barbato, but he seems like he might have some bobsled in his background.
Barbato, just from his name.
Artie Lewicki. I mean, these are some of the names that I came up with as far as having potential bobsledding skills.
You need Germans. Do we have any Zimmerman?
That's
a German name. Germans are good at bobsled.
I think Ulrich Boljarski should probably be on our squad also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need one of those big pushers in the back that, you know, looks just a little too big for one of those skin-tight suits. That's what you need.
Mickey.
Absolutely.
Renee at Holback R asks, this is a very similar one. What four players would you nominate for the All-Tigers curling team? So I know you want to get into what happened. Do you want to talk about that?
So I was just about curling. You mean
just what's happened in the world of curling?
I was hanging on every moment of the curling. I was so excited. So Sussman is always Matt Sussman, who we've had on the show, is a big curling guy. So I always kind of follow what's going on with the Olympics. You get to kind of see, and to add to the intrigue. I don't post a lot of selfies or whatever, but if you want to know what I look like John Schuster. And so people will come up to me. They're like, hey, do you know you look like John? Yeah, I know. I look a little bit like John Schuster. So I kind of have been cheering for the guy, and he's been pissing away the Olympics, but now he has a gold medalist, and that's exciting.
Yeah, it was. I can't say that I stayed up for it. I know you did, but that's
I was going to, but I kind of wussed out. I watched it in the morning.
No, that's weak. I got really into the Winter Olympics. Honestly, like the biathlon, I feel like I have more than just a passing 4-year interest in the biathlon. I have no idea like how I will watch it between now and the next time that it's on NBCSN. But it's really interesting. Like. Ski.
Have you ever cross country skied?
I've cross country skied like once, maybe in high school. I don't know. I feel like I would be really good at it though. I have a lot of endurance.
You would.
So I need to
get to it.
Yeah. I mean, so the, you know, this is no disrespect to the American biathletes, but they're terrible. Like, I don't feel like the competition would be that difficult to be walking in the opening ceremony of the next Olympics in biathlon.
There you go. Get on. So I'm going to go to Kalamazoo and curl. I mean, they have learn to curl nights. I gotta go do it. Sounds
we have that up in TC in Frankfurt too.
Grand Rapids, no curling clubs.
That seems extremely hard to believe.
It's a big city for no curling.
At Mark A. Perna asks us, what would you put the chances at of Michael Fulmer being traded between now, unlikely until he pitches healthy, or by, say, the trade deadline in July?
I don't think we're going to trade Fulmer.
I would say, I don't know. I would say 50%. I know that's an extreme hedge, but there could come a time when a team like, say, the Yankees, or I don't know exactly who else would come into this conversation, determine that they need one more really good starting pitcher, that that's all it takes to win the World Series, and they would pay a king's ransom for him. If that scenario arose, I don't think we would have any problems trading him. You know, give us Gleyber Torres and a few other players. Like, I think Avila has a healthy understanding of Fulmer's worth, and he's not going to trade him unless he gets that. But I think that there's a non-zero chance that somebody's willing to pay that worth at some point this year.
So maybe. I have it around 10%. Okay. I don't think they're going to.
Caleb York asks us, over under a number of months in 2008 in which Victor appears in a game. Essentially, how many months is he going to miss?
Two.
I think he's going to appear in each.
Okay. I mean, that's the over-under, though. I mean, I think two. Two and a half.
I'll take the...
You're taking the over?
Under. Yeah, the over. I think he plays at least a game in every month.
Wow. So, like, six. Or five, whatever. Five, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
I'll take the under on that.
David Bratz asks us, why don't any of the current Tigers have decent nicknames? Can we at least find decent one for the guys who look like they're going to be around for a while, in parentheses, whoever they are? I actually came up with a few. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So, obviously, Mikey is the perfect snake. We've discussed this many times.
The perfect snake.
The perfect snake.
Perfect size snake.
Candyman, that one like kind that. Of already is around.
Yep.
We should just call Zimmerman M. You know, clearly that's...
Naturally.
That's where we should go. Castellanos, I thought maybe we could just call him, like, Nick.
Yeah, Nick. It's kind of short for Nicholas.
Yeah, something silly like that. Leonis Martin, maybe call him Marty.
Yeah.
Marty.
Yeah. I don't feel that, you know, we're starting to get the hockey nicknames going. You could just go hockey nicknames for everybody.
Yeah. And
Mickey, Iggy, Marty.
Well, they already call him Iggy.
McCanny. I don't know. Jamesy.
Oh, McCannon. That's one. I don't particularly like it, but that's an established one. There's some nicknames. And then McCannon. The last one, Machado, I thought maybe Big Dicks.
Excuse me. Sell some real estate with Remax in Florida.
oh boy. Okay. We got another one. Also from David Jaham. He asked us, more starts this year, Zimmerman or Norris? More homers, Miggy or Casty? More homers, McCann or Victor? Let's start with the first one. More starts, M or Norris?
M for sure.
I agree with that. You know, I love Norris. You know this.
Yeah,
I'm flaking on him a little bit. I want it so bad. I love him. Yeah. I want it, but I'm starting to flake.
A smidge more consistency.
More homers, Miggy or Castellanos?
I think Miggy.
I do too. Over under 39.5, which would obviously be a big jump from current form.
Both under.
Oh, I was meaning just Miggy. I think he hits 40 this year.
Okay. That's a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More homers, McCann or Victor? This one I feel like
McCann.
Definitely McCann.
McCann. Just because Victor is going to get hurt.
And he has no power. I mean, that's a bad combination for hitting more home runs than literally anyone else.
Right.
Jeremy, Germ Bob Cooter, at JMLewis5213 asks us, who do you think will be the first Tiger ejected from a game this year, manager or player? Which I thought was a really good question.
Cabrera.
You're probably right, but I'm going to go with somebody a little more niche. Let's see.
Gardenhire could be a good choice, too.
I mean, he'll obviously get rung at some point. I'm going to go with Castellanos. Yeah. I feel like he has an underrated snark to him, or Ken at times. Next one, at Nicholas Haller, he asked, who will have a big enough year to net us some prospects in July? Which this is clearly a hopeful one. I mean, honestly, our options. Yes, I think that's a good one. Shane Green. I would love it if McCann came out firing and we were able to deal him for something usable. I mean, I don't think there's any reason that Hicks couldn't easily replace him for this year. And I think Rogers is right around the corner.
Could be.
So yep. I wouldn't be surprised if he's pushing for that starting job this time next year. So McCann's reign is a little bit limited. If we could get something for him, I wouldn't necessarily mind moving him. But I mean, Fires, Martin, and Liriano, I mean, we signed those guys for the purpose of trying to trade them for something at the deadline. So
yep.
All right, three more. Brett Yoder asked us, is it too early to get mad at our new manager for ignoring analytics and making our leadoff hitter someone who never gets on base simply because he's fast and plays center field?
We kind of talked about this already. You can get mad. That's fine.
Yeah, go for it. It's not going to change, so maybe just start working on acceptance. But, here's the thing. I feel like we've had this discussion before. It's more important that we have a hands-on pitching coach than what the manager does at this point. In 2 years when we're good, I want an analytics-based manager, someone that can get us those narrow margins that win us games we shouldn't. Right now, quite frankly, I don't know that it matters. I mean, if we win 3 extra games this year based on the manager, it might actually be a bad thing because then it'll be a worse draft pick.
So you want a grandfather, not an egghead?
Sure.
Good, because that's all we got.
Yeah, we have someone. I mean, we literally have Santa Claus.
Papa Smurf. Yeah.
Anthony Troya says, I'm just a narcissist who likes hearing his name. So he wrote in this week. Jeremy did not. But I do want to mention, Anthony wanted
really
us to talk about this. Man United winning against Chelsea on Sunday. We played very, very poorly in the first half. But in that second half, we played them off the park. 2 goals. Oh, my gosh. I hate Chelsea. Like, I don't like Liverpool because they're our historical rival. And it's hard to hate City at this point because they're so stinking good and all their players are pretty likable. But I hate Chelsea. They're the worst.
They're the worst.
It was good to get one. And I'm sure Jose was loving it. and the last one, our buddy Jacob Skronik asked us, just want a conspiracy theory of power rankings. conspiracy theory power ranking. Which,
oh, okay.
I might have to do that one. Conspiracy theory are kind of my thing. I do enjoy those. We might have to do one at some point.
Tupac is alive. That's my new favorite one.
That's new? I mean, that one's kind of been around.
It's
for
a new
while.
Favorite for me. I just read a whole thread about how Tupac is alive and living in Cuba. I'm tempted to buy it.
You know, I believe Stevie Wonder can see, right? We've had this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. And then the one that I really like is that Beyonce, the real Beyonce, is actually dead and she's been replaced by I don't know if it's like an imposter or a robot or some sort of combination.
So like the Paul McCartney.
Yeah. I'm all ears for anything like that. Maybe table that one for the doldrums in August, though. Yes, definitely. Of the remaining free agents, who would be the likeliest Tigers signing? And should I buy a Mike Fiers jersey? So I'll let you take the first one. And I'll take the second one. How about that?
Oh, remaining free agents. Do you know any offhand? I can't remember.
Here's the deal. We're not going to sign anybody.
They're not going to sign anybody. Lomo went to the Twins. Logan Morrison.
Which is a good signing for him.
Good signing for him. There's kind of some talk about the first base DH types kind of being the new market inefficiency. Like teams are kind of undervaluing those guys. So yeah, Lomo is a good signing. I mean, there's a few. Oswaldo Garcia.
There we go. I believe it's pronounced Goswaldo. So just so you know. Just so you know. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Been a fun show tonight, Eric. We're staying under an hour. That's always a bonus.
It's been delightful. I have my nice tea, and it's been a great chat.
Yeah, and next week I'll have observations for you guys from Tigers games. Any guesses as to who starts when I'm there? I'm going with Travis Wood, but I feel like the options are almost unlimited for what kind of terrible starter I could see. Probably Buck, yeah. Chad Bell.
Carpenter.
It's probably going to be Artie Lewicki. I'm going to be so pissed if it's Artie Lewicki.
Hey, what's wrong with Artie?
What's right with Artie? How about that?
Isn't there a Simpsons character named Artie who Marge falls in? That's what I think of every time I hear Artie.
I'm hoping for M. I'm hoping for Zimmerman. I think that would be fun just to see what he looks like at this point. But anyways.
Yeah. We'll have a whole nother week of games to talk about that will give us many more interesting and clear insights.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Hopefully two more clean innings for Hagen. Pencil him in, people. Pencil him in. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.